Welcome to In Step Podcast, a ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Billings, Montana. This podcast is all about you, me, and Jesus walking in step. Our goal is to gain a fresh perspective to apply the principles of God's Word to our everyday life. Thanks for joining us. And now, let's see what God has for us today in step. You, me, Jesus.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 20 of the In Step podcast. This is Ryan, and I'm so thankful that you decided to drop in and give us a listen. Now, we're right in the middle of this fantastic series called Family Friendly, where we're having conversations about a variety of topics that affect the family. Now, today on the podcast, I welcome our men's ministry director, Rick Beiler. Rick and Karina have been part of the Emmanuel family for several years, and Rick owns a construction business that he's in the process of handing off to his son. He's an avid hunter and outdoorsman, and someone who is strongly committed to seeing men mature into what God has called them to be. Now, men of God are vitally important to the health of the body of Christ, the strength of the family, and the growth of the kingdom of God. In addition, as we seek to grow in step through biblical counseling, man, any investment in the lives of men will definitely yield dividends in the long run. So I am one man who is excited for the prospect of raising up a vibrant group of men who love Jesus, serve their church, and lead their families. So men, listen up, check in, reach out, and give yourselves fully to what God has for you. So without further ado, here's episode 20 with Rick Beiler. All right. Well, Rick, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, now Rick, we're talking about we're in the middle of our family friendly podcast series, and so we're having a lot of conversations with folks from different family backgrounds. We've talked with people who are raising infants, middle schoolers, high schoolers, empty nesters. We've talked about fatherhood. We've talked about raising foster care and adoption. We've talked about raising kids. And just all sorts of facets of life. Kids on mission and so on. But I wanted to talk to you today specifically about men's ministry. Now, you've recently been appointed, or you drew the short straw. You've been appointed the men's ministry director here at Emmanuel, which is exciting news for us. But before we get into talking about that, why don't you tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself, your family, what you do for a living, and so on.
Yes, thanks, Ryan. Basically, I've been married for 32 years. My wife's name is Karina. I have three kids, two sons and a daughter that live here in the Billings area. So we are empty nesters now, and we were kind of looking for something that the Lord would have us to do. Mm-hmm. And my wife is very busy with a lot of things that she has taken over in her life, but I have not committed to anything. I hadn't found my niche, and so we decided to go ahead and take this on at church here.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what did you do for a living before this? And you still do it, kind of, right? Tell us about your job.
Yes. I'm a general contractor. We own a home building company here in Montana. We mostly build in Laurel area. Mm-hmm. But I have my youngest son has taken over the business, so he's doing a lot of the work, the scheduling, the ordering, just the basic day-to-day operations. So I'm able to slip away after 32 years of doing it. I just kind of maybe run out of gas a little bit in that area. So just been enjoying being able to take off a little bit more time, and I'll go down to work and to the job site and stir the pot a little bit, and go home.
Yeah, of course. So how fun is it for you to see, as a dad, your youngest son take over the business and be successful with that?
Oh, it's been great for me and my wife. First of all, to get to spend time with him, every day, or through the summer, I'm pretty much there every day. Mm-hmm. When the fall comes, I'm not there too much. Mm-hmm. But when he started doing it faster and better than myself, then it was time for me to turn it over to him and just let him do it. He's a good hand, very conscientious and responsible.
Yeah.
So it's been a really good thing for us.
That's fantastic. So selfless plug, shameless plug. What's the name of the company?
It's Amish Heritage Homes.
Amish Heritage Homes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Nice. But you build more than obviously just Amish homes, right?
Well, it's more of our heritage is Amish. Sure. So my grandparents were Amish, and so that's where we got the name and where we learned how to build. I have several uncles on my dad's side who are builders, mm-hmm. were builders, and so when I was old enough to swing a hammer, I was swinging a hammer. Mm-hmm. So that's basically all I've known my entire life. So
okay. Well, that's awesome. Well, I think we all know that Amish furniture and buildings, there's pretty quality stuff. Those have grown up in those areas. Now, I spent 10 years in Northeast Iowa, so we had plenty of Amish around there. And, hardworking folks.
They definitely have a good reputation.
Yeah.
Very conscientious with their work, and that's what we try to bring to our homes.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So you went to college, though, for pastoral theology. And then decided to do construction for 32 years. So here you are. The Lord's brought you perhaps full circle. So what's it been like to kind of switch gears and to make ministry your main focus rather than construction?
Well, it actually has been pretty easy for me, pretty seamless. I haven't lost any sleep over it or anything like that. Basically, I was in construction before I went to college, mm-hmm. and while I was in college, I paid my bills building, mm-hmm. and then I really didn't have a choice to where I went to college. My mm-hmm. dad said, "You're going to college here. This is what you're studying," sure. and I said, "Yes, sir," and I went, and and when I was finished, I went back to building. I did work at a church for 3 years as a youth pastor, mm-hmm. and we had three part-time guys, mm-hmm. and we just... After 3 years, we felt this is not working. We need to get one guy full time that can do everything and it'll be better for the church.
Yeah.
So I was one of the two guys that steps aside. We needed a music guy, mm-hmm. and that wasn't going to be me. Can't carry a tune in a bucket. So I knew that my calling wasn't going to be there. So I just, you know, the saying is you will be what you are becoming.
Yeah.
And I was pounding nails, and 32 years later, I'm still pounding nails.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it was a joy to work with you and your son a few weekends ago when we started that playground over at Bethel Baptist on the south side. That was really fun.
We did have a good time.
Yeah, that was a good day. Good day. Yeah. So we got some work to do yet, though, to finish it up. So yes. Hopefully in October, we'll knock that out, right?
Yes, one more day.
That's right. So men's ministry, that's what you've been brought on here at Emmanuel to do. So tell me about men's ministry and why it's a particular passion for you.
Well, when I was raising my kids, two boys and a girl, I just really had a desire to see my boys become men. I always told them there are enough women in the world. We need more men in the world. And it seems in this day and age, the world is trying to make men women. In my perspective, mm-hmm. we're not allowed to be masculine. We're not allowed to be men, and anything that is manly is wrong. And mm-hmm. I'm against that. I mm-hmm. don't see that in scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to, you know, raise my boys to be men. And so taking on this position as men's ministry director, I just have a real passion for guys to be men. Mm-hmm. I'm just so tired of the world telling us, dress your boys in pink and mm-hmm. tone them down. And I'm against that. I'm for let's be men. Mm-hmm. I think of a scripture back in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Mm-hmm. This is even coming from an unsaved Philistine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically said, quit you like men. Mm-hmm. You know, get with it or mm-hmm. you're going to be serving the Israelites. And so, I mean, even the unsaved people in the world know that men need to be men.
Right, right.
And it doesn't just stop at the church. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a passion of mine to help guys along, mm-hmm. to help guys raise their boys, to see the need. Mm-hmm. Life is very hard. Mm-hmm. And as John Wayne said, it's harder when you're stupid. But but either way, if you're a man... And you've been taught to be a man since you were little and you were toughened up, life is a whole lot easier to go at those problems mm-hmm. when you're a man instead of, you know, being feminine, maybe being a little soft and mm-hmm. I can't handle this. Well, you better buckle up because life's coming at you.
Yeah. 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 So tell me about, give us like two examples of ways in which our world is trying to make men feminine. And then on the flip side, what are two ways that we can sort of look to scripture and see how God says that we ought to be masculine as men?
Well, I don't know if it can stop at just two illustrations.
Of course.
It just seems like everywhere you look, the world is telling us that masculinity is toxic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we can't even have that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're aghast that we're masculine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that frustrates me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want you to hold doors for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most women do. I think they appreciate
sure.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're in a place now where inside they like it, but maybe they feel like I'm not supposed to like that.
Right.
Just because they're being so conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who these people are, but they sure have a big microphone and they keep cramming it down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I mentioned before, you know, is this just the easy things like, you know, you go to the mall and all of this clothing lines for boys mm. are pink.
Mm.
And to me, maybe it's just tradition, you know, and I don't want to be preaching traditions of men
sure.
For doctrines.
Yeah.
But it's just been accepted in our culture that pink is for girls and blue is for boys. That's the way I was raised. Okay.
Right.
I'm not changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why are they trying to put our boys in pink now? If it doesn't matter, why?
Hmm.
They're trying to soften them up. Oh, we're all just kind of one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You want to have unisex bathrooms and we're all the same and mm-hmm. go wherever you want, do whatever you want. There's mm-hmm. no really difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a couple areas there where the world is really trying to box men into
sure.
not being men. As far as looking at scripture, I like to look at Ecclesiastes 9:10,
mm-hmm.
and I could maybe quote that for you, but it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do,
mm-hmm.
do it with all thy might."
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, basically, in the grave, when you die, there's no more work. There's nothing else to do. So do it now.
Yeah.
And do it with as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know in my life, there's been a time or two where I've broken a toothbrush brushing my teeth.
Sure.
And my wife looks at me like, "Can't you do that a little softer?" No, I'm a man, you know? Make them a little tougher, okay?
That's right.
So, you know, that's just part of being a man,
yeah.
you know? Let's
yeah.
let's do it as hard as we can.
Yeah.
Let's be men here.
That's
okay?
right. That's right. So Rick here, just so you know, he brushes with a Brillo pad, and those toothbrushes that say soft are offensive to him.
That's right.
That's the bristles that's not the measure of a man there. Yeah.
That's right.
That's good.
I guess another verse too, that I like to look at that we can be men. John 8:4, the Lord is talking to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees make a point in the very act. Okay, this is not just hearsay.
Yeah.
We caught her in the very act.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and so this can be translated in our life where we have this huge problem that comes to us
mm-hmm.
and it's of big magnitude. And what did the Lord do? He knelt down and drew in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, the absolute picture of self-control.
Mm.
I mean, he didn't fly off the handle
yeah.
at the Pharisees
yeah.
or the woman.
Yeah.
He just let them talk, and he stayed in total self-control
mm-hmm.
and controlled. Now, obviously, it's our Lord.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, every area of life that we look at, he is perfect. And
mm-hmm.
so we're striving for that.
Yeah, we are.
And so we can look at every area in life, and he can tell us how we need to be doing it. But in this one area here, I just admire his self-control.
Mm.
He...
He made the world. He could have done anything. And yet he just let them, you know, run their mouths, whatever. And he just, when they're done, okay, this is how it's going to be. And that's something that we as men, I think, can really benefit from mm-hmm. when we get in these situations that, I don't know, they're got to have something done now, or there's a huge problem now, or something is blown up because most times it's my own fault.
Yep.
Because of something that I said or did, and I've got this huge problem that I'm trying to fix. Well, instead of just running at the mouth and trying to make all this stuff, you know, just relax, be in control, and let the Lord speak to your heart how you can handle the situation.
Yeah, yeah. So to sum that up, you're saying that it is vital to have self-control before you seek to control a situation or alter a situation or fix something.
Exactly. If you can't control yourself, how can you control any situation that you're in?
Hmm. Yeah. Man, that is fascinating. I have never considered Jesus's self-control in that situation, because you're right. He could have. She was caught in the very act. Okay. Now we can ask the question, where's the dude she was caught with? Okay. That's an issue. But, you know, so certainly he had a beef with them. Where's the guy, he could have said? You know, he could have looked, you know, looked right into their souls, could see their hypocrisy and so on. And yet, you know, and it's not like, I've always wondered what he was doodling in the dirt. Like, it's not like he's doodling, you know, camels and donkeys and, you know, spaceships or whatever.
Right, exactly.
You know, what was he writing? Was he writing names? Was he writing symbols, numbers? Who knows? And scripture doesn't tell us, and that's okay. But, yeah, sometimes, yeah, just maybe buying time, praying. You know?
Right, just like when you're on the phone and you're doodling on your paper, you know, that's, you're not right. Writing anything, you're just kind of occupying yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. So as you think about your vision behind, you know, you've spoken a little bit about this already, but your vision behind men's ministry, like, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, my mission here and my vision here at church is I want to get like 20 guys who are passionate about this like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to cultivate here is there's 500 guys here at our church.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And every one of those guys has friends that are unsaved.
Yeah.
Pretty much guaranteed that.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to reach those guys that are unsaved, you know, most importantly. But I also want to bring our guys in church here. I want to bring them along.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to like my style. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I've been a ramrod since I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was running a construction crew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main reason why I didn't go into the ministry, because ramrod and minister aren't the same line. Okay?
Yeah. Ramrod ministers don't last long, do they?
Exactly. Okay? It just doesn't work. And so I think the Lord just knew. It took a few years to get me to, you know, to relax a little bit
mm-hmm.
and ease off on the ramrod. And, mm-hmm. you know, before it was for somebody else,
yeah.
you know, then it was for myself. And so it's swim or sink.
Yeah.
So that's just what I was made for. I think I was a ramrod.
Yeah.
But men's ministry needs a ramrod.
Yeah,
they really do.
Yeah.
Because I'm a man and I know how I am,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I want to get, like I said, about 20 guys that they can start working on a small group of guys.
Sure.
And so they're all going to have different tastes. They're going to have different, you know, things they like to do. And that's how we can reach these guys. Hey, you know, this Saturday we're having a trail ride.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Jeff House is a buddy of mine, and mm-hmm. he's agreed to come on. He's mm-hmm. bought into this.
Mm-hmm.
He loves riding four-wheelers.
Yeah.
So I told Jeff, listen, I know you love riding four-wheelers. Let's get a ride going.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's guys in church here who's got machines that like to ride, and they've got unsaved friends that like to ride.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go ride, and we're going to be able to share the gospel with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get 20 guys like Jeff
mm-hmm.
who can start working on a small group. So I can send a text out, hey, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then each one of these 20 guys can send it to their 20 guys.
Right.
So that we can get this broad net out there to be reaching guys. That's kind of the direction I'm heading.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I need guys to step up, and there's been lots of guys who have come to me and are stepping up to help.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like the combination of service opportunities, you know, like I mentioned, the playground, excuse me, and then, you know, a trail ride at the same time. And boy, I tell you what, there are so many opportunities to serve. And I think you're right. We need men to step up and say, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to grow. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be a man of God. You know, whatever that looks like, you know, as we follow the example of the Lord in Scripture.
Right. I agree with that. And that's one of the things that we are going to be focusing on. There's a lot of people in our own church here that need help.
Yeah.
Last Saturday, we had a group of guys help one of our own guys move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sent me a text, hey, I'm moving. Do you got any guys that can help me?
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's working.
Yeah.
He knew who to contact.
Yeah.
And I was able to get some guys together. We went over there. We made short work of the move.
Yep.
And so as I get these small groups going, then I can send messages out. Hey, this lady needs her yard work done.
Yeah.
You know, hey, can you guys volunteer to come do this?
Yeah.
People are so caught up in themselves at this time of our life.
Yeah.
That then they're unhappy. And it's because they're living for themselves.
Yeah.
When you start living for other people, you really bring that joy back into your life. And that's what I'm trying to let these guys experience through, you know, building a culture of servanthood here.
Yeah. Oh, love that. Love that. So we've talked about some main components we think that are missing in the lives of men striving to live like Jesus. You just mentioned living for themselves and not serving. What are some other components that you think are missing in the lives of men in this day and age?
I think the number one thing that's missing in our lives from, you know, just regular church guys,
mm-hmm.
I think the number one problem is complacency.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm spearheading in my life group on Sunday mornings mm-hmm. this fall. It's so easy for men to be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
I told my guys on Sunday, you know, we come home from work, the bills are paid, there's food in the cupboard,
yeah.
The kids got clothes. I'm just going to sit down here in my chair, and I'm just going to take it easy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm as guilty as the next guy doing that.
I've
been doing it for years, you know.
For sure.
I'm tired. I want to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And we get complacent. And guys just need to realize, like that verse in Ecclesiastes, you know, we've got to get after because the grave is coming for all of us. And we will have no more opportunities, you know, to serve and to help. So complacency, I think, is my number one problem right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how many guys have come to the end of their lives and thought, gee, I wish I'd ignored my family and watched more TV growing up. No, we hear guys, they're regretting that they didn't spend enough time with their family, that they had these broken relationships, or that they... you know, they were harsh or, you know, so on and so forth, that they didn't do something. I mean, how sad would it be to get to the end of your life filled with regret over a life not lived for the Lord, over life lived for ourselves? I mean, when we're investing in ourselves, what kind of an investment is that? It's not.
It's not. It's chaff in the wind.
It is. It is. So let's talk about some things that we're actually getting right as men in this day and age. You know, we've been ramrodding things that struggles, but what are some things that you see that you're like, actually, that's really good?
Well, I think a good place to start is here at church.
Hmm.
I look at, you know, just coming on staff here, and so, you know, do I want to be a member of this team?
Mm-hmm.
So I see great leadership from Pastor Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I see... you know, great messages from the pulpit
mm-hmm.
that are helping our lives. I see all the pastors that are working here at church
mm-hmm.
are doing a fabulous job. And so we have a great team of leadership here
mm-hmm.
that can help guys. And to me, that's where it starts. I think maybe it was Bob Jones Sr. that said that one of his quotes years ago, everything rises and falls in leadership.
Sure, yep.
And so... you know, that's got to be a place that we have to start. If we're going to expect these guys to step up and to make progress, I think it's got to start there. And I think the team that Pastor Paul has put in place here is outstanding. You just don't see this in churches
across our country, the kind of staff that he has assembled here and how they're doing their job so well. Everything is always done. So as far as the church side, I think that's something that, is really being done well. As far as the other guys are doing, I mean, I think that guys in our church are working hard. Mm-hmm. I think they're hard workers, and they're providing for their families.
Yeah,
you know, from what I've seen, the guys that I'm getting to know, I think they're doing that well. They're not, you know, being slackers and letting their kids do without. So, you know, we see that work ethic. I just want to tweak it. Okay, we're providing for ourselves. Okay, Ecclesiastes 4:11, I think it says, all of man's labor is for himself.
Yeah.
So let's take some of that labor and let's get it towards the Lord instead of just for ourselves. And so I guess that's, you know, one of the things that is good, you know, and can be bad as well if we take it to extremes, you know.
Of
you
course.
See the workaholic. You know,
yeah, but. Of course. Well, that's awesome. That's great. And I agree with you. I think, you know, I think this leadership team here at Emmanuel is, man, glory to God. Glory to God alone for assembling the team that he has. And I know you are, but I'm humbled to be part of it. As somebody who's grown up in this church and has, you know, I see folks that are older that knew me when I was a kid. And the thought does run through my head, like, do they remember, you know, who I was? And, you know, they see me and they're having a hard time, you know, taking me seriously sometimes. And I get that. But it's a great team. And
no prophet is honored in his own country.
Hmm?
No prophet is without honor in his own country.
That's right. So we're working hard as men. We're providing for our families here in Montana. We do have an independent spirit, you know, where you kind of pick yourself up by the bootstraps, you know. But there is some of that, you know, lack of responsibility that we see, you know, from time to time with men. And you know, letting their wives lead the family, especially spiritually. But for Joe Average Believer who's coming to Emmanuel Baptist Church, like myself, husband, father, I'm a man. I'm trying to live my life for Jesus. What are some simple changes that I can make as I grow in my faith?
Well, this is kind of a trick question, I think.
Okay.
It's very easy to pinpoint areas in our life that can need changes, and it's like, oh, this is going to be easy. I just need to change this. But when we go to change it, it suddenly goes from simple to, I can't do this. You know, it seems so easy. I should be able to do this. I guess one of the simplest things that can be done, and it's so basic, but when I look back at how I raised my family, and, you know, I tried to, I mean, we had three kids, and we had them because we wanted them. They were all three planned.
Sure.
You know, we wanted them. And so I never missed dinner.
Right.
I was always home for dinner. If something came up that I was not home for dinner, I would stay home in the morning and have breakfast with my family because I didn't want to miss that meal every day.
Right.
But that being said, and, you know, we went camping and we went hunting, we went fishing, we traveled. You know, we were family oriented. That's just what we decided to do. We poured our life into our kids. But even that being said, one of the simplest things is I could have loved my kids more. You know, I think, well, I provided for them. You know how the old saying is, you know, hey, I got the food on the table, right? I got a house.
Yeah, three hots and a cot. What more do you want from me, right?
Right, exactly. I'm providing for you, you know? But I think that's maybe my biggest regret. Whether it's more love and discipline, more love and direction, just. And so, you know, to you guys out there listening that have young kids, love on them. Just love on them. Praise them. When you can praise a kid 10 times, it's just huge to them. And I think it takes 10 times of praising them versus one time of growling them to even out.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's so hard for guys to understand because, I mean, especially maybe the way I was raised, you know, we were very strict, you know. My dad was the meanest man in all the world.
Oh, sure. Said that,
you
of
know.
Course. Mine too.
Exactly. So
you know, and I wouldn't trade any of that because my dad taught me to love work. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can love work, you got life whooped. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just wish I would have loved my kids more. I think it would have gone a long way into, mm-hmm. you know, to helping the relationship and to have forgiveness, mm-hmm. because it goes both ways. Hey, I know Dad really messed up this time.
Yeah.
But I know how much he loves me. Mm-hmm. That's easy to forgive. Mm-hmm. Instead of keep, you know, making mistakes, and then the wounds go so deep.
Yeah.
And then with, there's not enough love there to cover it, as mm-hmm. the scripture says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. So let's talk about practical ways to love our families more. You mentioned, you know, encouraging them. Now, let me push back on this a little bit. So someone may say, well, if you have to say 10 good things for every one growly thing to your kids, isn't that coddling them? Or isn't that making them soft, or so to speak? Speak to that, especially in light of what Scripture says about encouragement necessarily.
Well, you know, all Scripture is given for instruction, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you look in there, how many times is the Lord, you know, berating his disciples?
Very few. There's some rebukes in there, but very few.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, so I think it's not coddling. I mean, if we're doing our parenting correctly, we don't have to be beating our kids' heads over the board, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know what I'm saying? I'll give you one example. In my personal life, up until age 18, I had never had a drink of alcohol of any kind, mm-hmm. okay, because I was scared to death that my dad was going to kill me
right.
if he found out, okay?
Right. Yep, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So 3 weeks after high school, my dad took me to college mm-hmm. and dropped me off, you know, yeah. and said, I'll see you in 4 years, basically.
Right.
Don't come home till you're done.
Right.
Okay. So now I'm on my own.
Yeah.
All uh-huh. of a sudden, I went from living at home, 3 weeks later, I'm on my own. Mm-hmm. Well, from age 18, living on my own, till today, I'm 53, mm-hmm. I have yet to have a drop of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Because I know if my dad would to find out, I would break his heart.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he's not going to kill me now, you know. Right. Dad's going to kill Ralphie, you know, right. whatever, yeah, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to build in my kids, mm-hmm. you know, through the love to them mm-hmm. and respect. Mm-hmm. So on a daily basis, if we're raising them right, they're going to make the decision, hey, I'm going to do this because I know it's right and I don't want to break my dad's heart.
Right.
Because of the love that he has shown me.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's where I would go. I understand me and I don't want to be coddling them. And I'll be the first to tell you that I've never coddled my kids. I've never been accused of that. Mm-hmm. I was real tough on them. Mm-hmm. But they knew I loved them. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can get away with being tough on them.
Yeah.
If they know their love,
yeah.
unconditionally.
Yeah, yeah. Then you can be tough on kids and at the same time be filled with joy because of them. So being tough is not, you're not going to, we're not talking about breaking spirits necessarily. What we're talking about is
breaking wills.
We're talking about asking them or requiring of them to behave, to think and to act and to speak a certain way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And, you know, any of us who've had multiple kids know there are several of our kids who challenge that a little more than the others and need a little bit more will breaking, just in terms of discipline, in terms of guidance. But those ones also need more encouragement as well. And we need more opportunities to say, hey, that I'm so proud of you for that. Awesome job. You did a good job at that and so on and so forth. So, man, that's really good. I appreciate that. Anything else that you want to say about some simple changes that a Joe average husband, father, and man can make to live more like Jesus?
I think a simple change a guy can make that'll make a huge dividend is to pray with your kids every day. Hmm. We had devotions with our kids growing up, you know, most every day. Mm-hmm. We try to pray with them. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing that I could have made sure that I did every day. I mm-hmm. didn't miss a day. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do anything more for your kids than to pray with them. Mm. Yes, you should be praying for them every day. I mean, as a parent, of course we do that. We pray for our kids. Lord, I need your help.
Yeah.
You know, I need direction. I need guidance. But praying with your kid is just something simple that the dividends that it will bring to you are just unmeasurable.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if there's a guy out there listening and he's thinking, well, it's easy for you to say, do devotions and so on and so forth. Maybe they need a little help out there. So break down devotions and what that looks like in its simplest form, concrete form. For maybe a guy who's never done devotions in his life, he knows it's a good idea, but he says, okay, well, what is that look like? So let's talk about what you read, what you pray, how long, and so on.
Well, basically what we did was, it was always after dinner in the evening. And it can be a simple thing as when we always said a verse at our table, you know, every night. So the kids knew that verse up and down, in and out, and they can still tell you today what that verse is.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can start small like that if you just want to start incorporating scripture in your home like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after dinner, then everyone would get the dishes done and put away, and then we would just sit down on the couch, all of our family, and we would use the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of books out there that are made just for this, where daily devotional books for raising families that you can just sit down and read a page or two from the devotional book with your kids and then discuss it, read the scripture that goes along with it. And then we would always, take prayer requests between us.
Yeah.
And then we would make sure that every night that everyone prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the dad praying and the kids just, you know, their mind getting to wander.
Right.
You know, we wanted to teach our kids how to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better way to do that than to do it together.
Yep.
You know, I'm talking to a real person here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is our Savior. He wants to hear from us.
Yeah.
You know, we may think we're so insignificant and we're, you know, we're just little dots down here. But he loves us so much, he sent his son for us. And so he wants to hear from us. And so that's what we would do. We would pray around, and then the siblings would be praying for each other's needs and praying for their parents' needs. And it was just a way of bonding together. And it's a lot harder to get up and go punch your brother in the face after you just prayed for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really brings harmony and unity to the family and growth in your spiritual walk.
Yeah. Yeah. So the men out there listening, first step, just start doing something. A verse, prayer, something. And build it into the DNA of your family. There's no better day to start than today. You know, we can beat ourselves up and say, well, my kids are already half grown and they're, you know. No, start today. It's okay. You can do it.
That's exactly right.
You know, come on. This is, you know, it's today's the day of repentance, of salvation, to follow Jesus and to love him. And so I think that's fantastic. Well, Rick, I love your passion for men. I love your passion for the Lord. It's been evident in our conversation today. So to finish off, how can the men out there be more involved in what God is doing through our men's ministry here at Emmanuel? Or where can their wives or their girlfriends subtly tell them to go in order to be more involved in what's going on?
Well, look me up in church. It would be the easiest thing. Usually out in the main street there Sunday mornings. You can look me up and you can ask how you can be a part of it, and I'll put you to work. That would be the easiest way.
Okay.
You can get on the church's website. I've got an email address there that you can send me an email, and we can discuss things. You know, if you want to be involved, where to plug in.
Yeah.
And there's lots of needs, lots of work to be done, and so don't be shy. Just jump in.
Okay, awesome. And your email, rbeiler@myemmanuel.net. And but now when this episode airs, you're going to be leaving for a couple of weeks to go in the backcountry in elk hunt, right?
Yes.
So you'll be a few weeks before you're out there on Main Street back again. But if you want to get a hold of Rick, go ahead and you can stop by the Welcome Center and you can just ask one of the folks helping there to leave a note for him. Or again, you can look him up on the website, shoot him an email. He'd love to use you. And man, it's super fun to serve alongside each other as we serve the Lord and serve our families. So thanks again, Rick. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Sitting down on a conversation.
Appreciate it.
Wow, men, if that's not a good call to men everywhere to step up our game and be a man of God, I don't know what is. Man, I really loved, though, how Rick emphasized Jesus' self-control in the story of the Pharisees and the adulterous woman. I mean, he could have condemned the woman to death. He could have blasted the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, for only bringing the woman and not the man, despite the fact that they caught her in the very act. Instead, he took some time before he acted. He wrote who knows what in the sand, then answered wisely, lovingly, and graciously, both convicting the hearts of the Pharisees and offering mercy to the woman while at the same time calling her to leave her life of sin. We would do well to seek to exhibit the same level of self-control as Jesus did. I also love the practical idea that Rick had to build a group of men around him who likewise will develop small groups of men around them who will reach out to their friends with the gospel and serve the community. Finally, man, it is encouraging to me that Rick is making it his goal to attack complacency in our Christian culture and replace it with the culture of servanthood in men. So men, listen up. If you're looking to take steps in your biblical manhood, find Rick out on Main Street here at Emmanuel. Email him or stop by the Welcome Center and leave your information for him. It's our desire to invest in you and get you connected to serving opportunities here at Emmanuel. Well, thank you so much for Rick for being on the podcast. I really appreciated his passion for Jesus and his desire to see men live the way God intended. Now, as always, if you are already subscribed to the Emmanuel podcast, take a few minutes, find us on your device and click subscribe. And you can also hop on our website at myemmanuel.net and find it there. And please don't forget to share this content with a friend, or while you're at it, share it on social as well. Well, thank you for joining us today on the InStep podcast. InStep. You, me, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the InStep Podcast, a ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Billings, Montana. We hope your time with us today has encouraged, strengthened, and helped you walk in step with Jesus. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, so please subscribe, share us with a friend, and like us on Facebook. Also, don't forget to check out our website at myemmanuel.net. And finally, please don't change or alter the content in any way without our permission. Until next time, InStep, you, me, Jesus.